just starting off crazy. Somewhere in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6. Okay, so we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. This is how Jesus commissioned us to pray. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Don't do like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, you know, we all know the Lord's Prayer. I'm assuming we've heard it over and over, and we said it. We can recite something. That's pretty much a given, right? Yeah, we don't have anyone in here that probably can't. There's a message in that, though. It's teaching us how to pray. And, you know, I think it's important for me to really start taking praying more serious, much more serious. And not just me, but all of us. But if you know that you've probably been praying, you know, or whatever, then you really want to step up your game, because praying is really effective. We're here because of prayers. It's the truth. It's like you might pray for something to be sustained, and then, you know, it didn't turn out the way you want it. But what we fail to realize is that it didn't turn out as bad as it would have had we not been praying. You know, so prayer, it sustains things. We're here holding this place together because the prayers of the saints reach the Most High God. And so praying is really doing a lot more than we probably are giving prayer credit for. Bless the Lord. So yeah, a lot of people are prayer warriors. Don't get me wrong. Like he was talking about more finances. Don't slack up. Don't slack up in the praying. You know, continue your vigilance praying, because you'll know somebody's like really gung-ho one moment, they're down the next. And that's how we are. We need each other. And so we're praying for each other, right? We're interdependent on each other. We need to continue praying and never doubt our prayers. Have faith in your prayer life, because you're talking to the Lord. And you know what? You know, this is a big entity. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, this is a big, big, big entity we're talking about. The biggest entity we've ever had a privilege of being in the presence of. This is God inviting. You know, I was thinking about it a minute ago. You know, a terrorist, a known terrorist, can't just go into the White House, you know, because he's terrorizing things. We were such enemies of God, right? But now we can enter into his palatial palace, right? Pure as anything has ever been, and talk to the king of everything. Now, what he's saying is, you have permission to come into my throne room when you have a request. That's a big deal. And I think we might not really see the advantage, because we're not really taking that into heart. This is a big deal. There was a time when you had to meet him in tents and hide behind Moses, and you know you had to send a delegate. You know, you just weren't good enough, and still you're not good enough. But his plan was to make a way for the people he loves to communicate with him, to be in his presence, to feel his love, to not just talk about something you really don't feel, but to talk about something that's real. You know what I'm saying? When you know it's real, you can really convey what you're feeling. Bless the Lord. Where's JJ? I said, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So bless God. So now, an audience with God, the name of this sermon is In His Name. In His Name. It's pretty simple. We're coming and going in the name of Jesus, okay? I didn't just get here. You know, everybody that comes in here is not on the same page. We may have doubts. You know, really, we may not say that. We come in, you know, we have doubts that our prayers didn't get answered or like we expected or whatever the case may be. But we're back. Okay. So keep coming back. It's not a brainwashing. It's a heart renewal. Right? So what the Lord is doing is he's working in our heart to try to purify our hearts so that we can actually see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what the scripture says. So he wants to purify our hearts because our hearts have been made impure by the systems of this world. And this is what the world does. If you can't blame the world for going adversely, it's in opposition to God. You know, so just accept and know that you're dealing with a world force, a big force here that is trying to lure you into the pattern that it's on. It's a pattern destined to hell. A pattern that is if you follow it, you're leaving God. And outside of God, that's all there is. So this presence, this God of ours, life is all around him. He keeps life with him. If you reject the life offer, you go to where there's death. And death is real. Okay, there's a place reserved for people that don't follow the Lord. And it doesn't have life. The only life that it has is the life is your life continuing forever and ever as a soul that perishes, that will never be a part or connected to God again. Bless the Lord. We need a connection to God to live. So we came here dying. Okay? We came on the scene dying. Born a brand new baby, cute and cuddly, dying when you got here, right? So in this flesh dwells no good thing. What's happening in this flesh is that we're perishing. We're on the way out eventually, some sooner than others, some later, you know, but we're all going to die. Tell me we're not going to die. Okay, we're going to die a physical death. And what the Lord is trying to convey to us is that don't die the second death. You know, don't fear people that can put you to death in your physical flesh. But you don't fear that. You can't fear it. Because if you do, then you have to admit to yourself, this is all I believe. I believe this place here and now is all there is. So don't trick yourself. Ask the Lord to write it in your heart. The truth, the reality of life, even life, forevermore. Because there is such a place with such a king, with such a people, just like us, that are going to live forever and have life forevermore. That life is called abundant life. It's a different kind of life. We think we have abundance. Ruth got 5 more thousand. She's got abundant money. Okay, we think we got abundance. With the Lord, I'll be tapping into that money too. But what the Lord is... The Lord's trying to tell us is where he comes from, Jesus, you know, there's mansions and they don't decay. They go on forever. You know, there's a palatial mansions. Well, you know, when you think about San Francisco and Paris and all these decorated, adorned cities that we've been so attracted to, now they're being described as poop cities. Streets of gold start to make sense. Right? It does. It starts to make sense now. Right? So why would, you know, streets of gold, you know, because what I'm trying to tell you is there won't be that decay. That sin won't exist in my kingdom. It doesn't exist there. It never has. When it looks like it was about to, it got booted out. You get it? And so it's never going to be. He has a place for us that will live forever in harmony and love. People can't believe that. That's hard to believe. Okay, I've never known a life without sin. I can't have fun without my freaky, you know, and all my crazy. You know, how am I gonna really yell? They just putting it on those Christians. They pretend they don't like it, but they like it. You know, they do, you know. I'm not lying. We do. But we know better. Okay, we're learning. We're learning because the Holy Spirit is in us telling us. Okay, this, there has to be a better system, a better way of life. There has to be. Why should there be? Because what you're seeing right now leads to death. It feels good. You like it. It smells good. All of it just seems like everything you've ever wanted. You don't know any better. I'm going to teach you better because it's better. Where I'm going to take you, you will enjoy. A kid, you couldn't tell a kid. All right, think about it. Here's a marriage. No more marriage in heaven doesn't sound attractive, especially to someone that's never been married. I've never been married. I just grew up yesterday. So I've never been married. I just told you, you know. But the idea of getting married in heaven sounds great. I can get married in heaven. I have no problems. I have kids and all this. Well, there's no marriage there, right? Okay, I have a problem with that. No marriage in heaven. How the heck will I be happy? I never even had the enjoyment of marriage. I did the all the other stuff that you're not supposed, the forbidden stuff, right? Right? Okay, but see, what the Lord is trying to convey to us, I believe, today is that we question him and we question his promises, but we're not really praying in order to get these answers fulfilled, these requests fulfilled. If a kid is not, you could tell a kid, you know what? Sex is just, it's nothing like it. They've never indulged. Was it like chocolate chip cookies? You see what I'm saying? That's where they're at, right? Okay, and so what I'm saying is that we've never indulged in what God has for us in his kingdom. You get it? So he's trying to say, no, you can defer. I'm not saying you have to not get married, so please don't get me wrong. But you can defer appetites here, especially if they're going to cause you to compromise what I have for you there. So what does he have for us there? He's told us in a nutshell, and then over and over again on my holy mountain. Okay, well, what's on this holy mountain? Look, I'd have just left the script. But on this holy mountain, there's a what do we have? We have meat, delicious meat. Well, there'll be no eating. Don't lie to yourself. He says he's going to feed us delicious meat and the finest wines. This is what Jesus says. He says there'll be, the lion will lay with the adder. Y'all got to help me with those. You know, the child will put his hand into the den of the adder or whatever. In other words, the stuff we suffer here, we won't suffer there. So we've never known that. If I walk outside and see a raccoon, a baby one, I'm running. You know, it's like, no, he might scratch my eyes out. He's not known to scratch my eyes out, but my imagination tells me otherwise. So, but heaven is not, the depiction of heaven is not something we should look at or view as we're going to lose all that we've known, right? But don't look at it like that. And if you do, if we do, we have to ask the Lord, give me the proper understanding. Father, awaken in my heart, this heart that you're shaping, and let me know that it's worth dying for. Heaven is worth dying for. So if I'm up here always talking about, oh, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be oppressed. Oh, that David, all he knows is just, oh, we look, they may as well start whipping us now out in front of the church. Right? Okay. Look, some of us more than others. Some unto death. Some may die, you know, a reasonable death. Some might be put to death. It just depends on what the Lord has planned for you. Because honest to God, what the parable is saying when he talks about the talents, the 2, the 5, and the 10,000, is that I've given Ruth enough. 10,000 is enough for Ruth, and 2,000 is enough for Clemas, and do with the 2,000 that I've given you. The 2,000 I've given Clemas is enough for you to please me and to garner everything I have for you. And there's a lot in store for the Christians in heaven, right? So if you're looking at heaven, and before, let me segue with this. You're looking for heaven to be the ethereal, ghostly place where you're floating around on the clouds and stuff and all this kind of spooky, you know, like what you think you're seeing these days anyway, talking to the dead or whatever the case may be. If you're looking for the spooky, then the enemy has derailed the truth of what Jesus says heaven is, a tangible place where we'll be able to walk around and touch each other. He said, touch me and see I'm not a ghost. I say this all the time. He's not a ghost. Jesus is not a ghost. Heaven is not a ghostly atmosphere with just clouds and smoke. I like Pastor Roberts, bring on the smoke. You know how they do. I'm saying Daniel Roberts, remember he said that? That was so funny. He said, now bring out the smoke. You know how some stages have all that smoke and they try to entertain you with that's the Holy Ghost or whatever. Okay, heaven's not that. Christ isn't that. We do have a spirit. The spirit is, Ruach is the name of the spirit in Hebrew. But when you hear the name of the spirit in Hebrew, do you know that during those times, people would think of breath. They would think of breath, breath of life. If you blew on your hand, you'd feel it. And that's what they would be thinking of in terms of the spirit. God blew into this dead body. And that body inhaled the spirit of life, and then it exhaled. It inhaled and exhaled the breath of life. God has given us his breath. This breath is everywhere. So if you think about this breath, you think about the trees moving, you think about the anything, leaves, you know, doing their fluttering, whatever the case may be. The spirit of God is spirit. There's no problem there, okay? You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. There's not a problem there. When you're praying through the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? But I don't see the Spirit. You see them leaves moving? That's life. This is the Spirit, God's Spirit. It's here, it's all around us. So understand that God is tangible. He's going to be tangible. We're going to be in flawless bodies. We'll be tangible. I'll be able to hug you. I'll be able to high-five you, whatever the case, eat with you, drink with you. We're going to be on a earth that is tangible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't want to just continue beating us to death. We have an audience with God. This is a big deal. Look, you just don't let the murderer into your house and tell him, oh, no, come ask me what you want. We're murderers and prostitutes and thieves and harlots and all of it, okay? We have faith. God is saying by faith, you can enter into my house because you believe me. You believe. Don't come in and sit at the table and be a non-believer. You'll be excused out there, cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? But we have this privilege, something we didn't earn. It came by faith, okay? Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that by no means means go ahead and harlot and prostitute and enjoy yourself. What it means is we're for the glory set before us, right? What are we going to do? We're going to adhere to the will of God because look at what he's presenting us with when we don't deserve a dime. We don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. Default location for everybody that gets here is hell. I think Ray Comfort said that, or one of those guys. It makes perfect sense. You're going to hell until you accept Christ. Okay? Bless the Lord. So an audience with God shouldn't be forsaken. We should actually look at an audience with God as an opportunity to get in there feeble and crazy, you know, all confused, whatever, and start mumbling like a baby mumbles because you want that baby to formulate a word. You're dying to hear him say it right. You have that much patience with a baby. Consider God and how he views us. You may not know how to pray right, but you formulate some mumbling. You get it together. And not repetitious, ha ba 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 ba. I'm not saying that, okay? Now hear me. It's not by our repetitive words. That doesn't get anything done. What I'm saying is that what we want to do is we want to try to talk to God in a more in-depth way, more sincere and intimate, coming from a heart of gratitude you know, he wants to talk to us where we're at. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. What compels our involvement? You know, fun goes on, and all the children are giggling and laughing outside the window, and you're vacuuming or whatever you're doing, dusting or whatever, right? You can hear them. You hear them out there, right? Then say you're counting your money, your 5,000. I'm gonna have to pick on you. Say you're counting your money, and then you hear the kids. One of the kids is crying. Okay, that's an alert. I mean, you will go and see, well, which one of them kids are crying. If you hear that kid call your name, B, Miss B, you're running, okay? There's a difference. God, yes, everybody's God's children. We're all children of God. No, that's not true. Though he can hear all the children out there, he hears them, you know, playing and carrying on. Then what else does he hear? One of them in a need. And a sincere need. What is God's goal? That need. I want to fulfill that need so that you'll know me and love me. Right? So he looks for these opportunities. Not like he doesn't know they're coming. They're coming. But he wants to use that opportunity to showcase who he is in the life of a person in need. That makes sense? Bless the Lord. So this is how the Lord rolls. Don't call me by my name for the first time. Because I will come running, like Pastor said, lift up the skirt. That's humiliating for a man back in the day to lift up his skirt and run. God is coming running after the prodigal. Okay, he wants you. He wants you back. You've been captive, held captive by an enemy force that operates in darkness, a darkness you can't even see. He wants his people back. This is what the Lord wants. Okay? What is it in Isaiah? Darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. Yet the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to his light and kings to the glory of his dawn. Brightness of his dawn. Think about what I just said. Darkness covers the earth. So it's like if I'm walking in darkness, I really don't know what's going on. Because I'm in darkness. It looks light to me. I've been able to maneuver and manage my life in darkness for a long time. I became pretty good at it, and now I'm fighting for the rights of darkness. We'll end up fighting to keep it dark. We think dark is right. Okay? So we'll fight for it, and you can't tell me otherwise. You know, no, we're going to fight for our rights to keep it. What do they mean, the light? What light? When you've been in darkness all your life, you don't know about any light. Bless the Lord. Okay, so what does the Lord do? He turns the light on for us. We didn't go strike a match. It doesn't work like that. He turns it on, sees it while you can. Because guess what? It's going to get so dark out here, there'll be no opportunity for you to gain the rewards that I have for you in heaven, yet alone accept an invitation. So the moment the light is turned on, somebody else is telling you, turn that light out. You know you don't. That's strange. You're talking crazy. Get back in here in darkness. Come on, wallow with me. Wallow, you know how we wallow. You know, we're wallowing beings. You know, let's stay here in the mud. You know, it's comfortable here, you know, but it's right. Listen, don't refuse and resist God. Don't think clever men, and they're clever. God created them too. Don't think clever men can outwit God. Wisdom for us, look, the truth about the definition of wisdom, how the Hebrews would have understood wisdom back in the day, they would have understood it as seizing the moment. Every moment, that's wise. You get it? It's like, look, we're going to get this moment. We're going to use it. We got to get up early, do our crops, you know, get everything before the sun comes up. You know, we're going to work late into the day because we need to get these crops harvested and all of this stuff. That's wisdom. So we actually need to operate with wisdom, seizing the moment. Seizing the moment. I can get caught up in words with friends, a Scrabble, you know, on Facebook, caught just whooping everybody. And I'm using the dictionary. you know. Where's, I used to play with her husband all the time. And I'm using the dictionary, and I'm saying to myself, he using one too, so it makes it right. He would be mad. But the fact of the matter is that you can get carried away into anything. We're sheep. And it, really, look, one guy said the other day, he said, you know, one minute I find myself in a situation and I have to ask myself, how did I get here? You have to backtrack and watch the path that led you to a place distant from the Lord. It happens. It's happened. It's happened to me lots of times. So the Lord pays attention to us. We can't seem to get this, but in all that he's created, we're priceless to him. He does care when we cry. When the baby cries, he cares, okay? It's an opportunity to introduce myself to him, meaning any of us, any situation. When someone dies, you're apt to cry, okay? This is what, look, the people in darkness will come and shelter you until you just need a wine, and you come on over and, you know, and all this comes. We'll go out and have men's night and women's night out, whatever, you know. That's the darkness. We'll bring you cake and everything. Christians seize that opportunity. Thank God for funerals. I mean, Christians seize the opportunity to introduce God. For the most part, no one, look, it's the will of God that every man be saved, and every man, that's his will, his hope, is that we all be saved. What's going on? We have this foe, the enemy, that prevents us from accepting our salvation, and the people that work with the enemy, intelligent people, that convince us that wisdom is what you need, not the Spirit of God, not to follow those old fuddy-duddies pretending to be happy when they aren't. Okay? Our happiness is not going to come from resisting sin. It's not. We'll be frustrated just resisting sin. Our happiness is going to come from placing our thoughts on things above that are pure and lovely and of a good report. Having a hope where there was hopelessness. That this is where our happiness is going to come from. It's even going to come from the fact that I'm suffering something right now that's being credited to my account. Where I'm going. That's happiness. I'm telling you, if you don't get it, get it. Ask the Lord for the true sense of happiness, okay? Because if you just allow the peer pressure to get you, you're gonna go under. You will be like these guys at Hillsong and all the rest that are throwing in the towel to Christianity. Did they ever have the towel for Christianity? I mean, did they? Come on, let's get real about this. Really. This isn't a joke. It's an opportunity for us to seek the Lord with all our hearts, minds, and soul. Love him. Love him with everything we've got, right? It's an opportunity for us believers. And then what's going to happen then? When the light is being turned on and the person next to you, that's an opportunity for you. You get to minister. Look, a funeral doesn't seem like a light turning on until you look at the advantage that you have, okay? Pay attention. Here's an advantage. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Okay, yeah, you be there waiting for some crisis so that you can interject. You know, look, it's all being recorded. I'm going to tell you, it might not be recorded digitally like we know it today, but there's going to be a proof here that you were ministered to, you were witnessed to, and you refused that light when I turned that light on. A lot of people are going to fall by the wayside. But I'm saying they may not have ever been on the wayside. Right? That makes sense? Inside, on the inside. Gonna fall on the, they never been on the inside. So they fall by the wayside. All right. So God's a God of free will. What does this have to, look, all of this has to do with my prayer. God is a God of free will. Think about it. If every time you want to do something wrong, something just slapped you upside the face, you know, you wouldn't want to do wrong because it's wrong to do wrong. You wouldn't want to do wrong because you're going to get slapped upside the face. Right? So God, what the Lord does is, no, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Make that wrong choice. And then down the line, in some cases, right away, but most of the time, once you started refusing God, down the line, you're going to feel the impact of what you've been deciding. Wrong choices bring wrong results. Okay? It's universal. Christians going in the wrong direction are going to get wrong reception, wrong choices, wrong, right? Okay, so what we want to do is we want to pray, Lord, to keep us steadfast and unmovable. Okay, these are the things we have to pray for. We have to remember to pray. God is not, it's not like the Lord, and I'm speaking for the Lord right now, Lord, but it's not like the Lord is, I ran into a Christian Scientist the other day. Yeah, I didn't know, I really didn't understand their belief. I'm not here, you're not here, nothing's here, no existence, we you know. And I was like, really? You know? But he just got through. I didn't want to take my coat off because I put on a Baby Huey t-shirt and you could see it through my shirt. No, I'm serious. And so when you're single and stuff, you pull whatever shirt is available and you put it on. There's nobody ironing and folding and stuff. So the shirts are they're everywhere. So, but honestly, God is not, he's not a, it's not like he's trying to play a game with us. The Lord is not like, oh, you know, I'm so mysterious, you may not even be existing right now. You know, that's just nonsense. And I thought it was nonsense for him to say that because just prior to his statement, he said, oh, they've doubled my rent. I said, well, what are you going to do? It's the same place I was talking to you about. Yeah. I said, well, what are you going to do? Oh, I believe in God. I said, man, I'm so happy to hear you say that. Yeah, I said, man, how long have you been a Christian? I'm a Christian Scientist, and not just in my head. I kept my smile. You know, you got to keep your smile because it's deceiving and deceptive. But you don't want to necessarily let people know right off that, oh, you're crazy. And then when he started breaking, I said, well, what is Christian Science? I heard of others, but what is, oh, we're not here. We're not even talking right now. I said, so this Lord, this God, right? This God that you just told me you trust in to take care of your need. He came here to die for us and we're not really here. You know what I mean? We never existed. Did he exist? You know, well, what the heck? Don't get too spooky. That's spooky sounding. You're headed in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? And it's a wrong message to be sending. God is like, a lot of people say, oh, God's so mysterious you can't understand him. I don't believe that. I believe he's reserved the right to share everything with us. But what he wants us to know, we can know. That's true. We can know whatever the Lord wants us to know, we can know. It's our fault for not knowing because we're not studying or we're not seeking, right? We're not collaborating, getting together. Look, if we have doubts, get together one another. Don't just show up at church and eat certs. You know, get together, call each other on the phone, talk to each other, ask questions. Look at the person that's praying, call that one. Okay, that's how I did. Okay, I started calling the people that started making sense and that have time for me because I was doing a lot of calling, you know, because I wasn't making sense. So, What we want to do is we want to take every opportunity to better ourselves in terms of our knowledge of God, who he is. We want to take every opportunity to share the gospel. We're going to need to be praying in order to do this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. My brother and Miss B, they'll say, oh, the God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. You know, they're kind of building, you know, before they just start talking. I'm not saying you can't talk to God without saluting him, right? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you have time, if you're praying as much as you ought to be, then you'll find that in one of those periods of time, you definitely should acknowledge God for being a great God. Father God, Father God, Father God, come on. It's repetitive. It's not like he's thinking if I say Father God 100 times, I'm going to get a gold bar or something. It's like, no, you're my Father. Okay? Bless the Lord. Okay, so listen. In your own way, you honor God in your heart. Because once you start telling yourself who this person is that has charge over your life, once you're convinced, you're going to see him differently. His Spirit will work differently in your life. You'll get those old warnings back that when you're making a bad choice. Remember, you used to get them, then you didn't. Okay, you know. Please, Lord, give them back. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Give me back my alert system, you know, so that I know I'm going in the wrong direction. Will he do that? Why wouldn't he do it? He wants to do it. He wants to purify our hearts. This is God. Bless the Lord. Bless God. So Jeremiah says, for I know the thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 through 14 says, so I know the thoughts I think towards you. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Kind of like that kid scenario I was just saying, they're out there playing. Okay? Yeah! Right? Then, but if you call me by name, emptying your whole heart. Look, what is in the name of Jesus? What is that? What does that mean, in his name? Okay, it means that my prayer life, look, want to know some crazy prayer life? Okay, Charles, you hurry back. I mean it. you want to know some prayer life? Get in here. So, you want to know some crazy prayer life? Is and I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I prayed for things that were very ungodly. Okay, you know, look, this is my genie. You know, come on now, right? I've had friends. You know my drug past. I don't mind telling you guys, but I was thinking about a friend today. Praying that this cocaine would really be cocaine and not something phony, right? You didn't purchase, you didn't spend your money. When you get home, you want the real deal. You don't want to drive all these, you didn't caught buses and whatever else, you know. You don't want to get all the way back home with 50 cents left, and this cocaine turns out to be chalk. So he was praying, and I was in agreement. Yeah, I didn't know God, right? You know, I'm praying, yes, Lord. Yes, make it right. Another friend of mine, he was a greedy person. Look, I learned a lot in darkness. Okay, I'm trying to tell you. So, but this friend of mine, he was a greedy person that takes all the drugs. He couldn't share, you know. He just had to have it all piled up on his pipe, right? And so you're sitting there angry, and you just, you know, I hate the way he does. He's the one that manipulated it, and you give him a place to get high in your house or whatever. And then, but now you have to endure his greed. And so what does he do? He piles it all on and everything, and then he says, David, pray for me that I don't die, because this hit. Right? Because it's a big hit. Okay. Pray for me that, brother, pray for me that I don't die, because this hit, it might take me out. Of course, I was praying that it take him out, you know, because let's think about this. You taking all the drugs and you want to live? You know, I should be paying for you to live, to survive this? This is what I'm trying to say. But another friend lived in a drug house, left his money in the house, knowing he lives with drug addicts, takes off to go to Reno, realizes his money is still there, and then starts praying profusely. Making you, oh, Lord, please, 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 please. These things we pray for, I'm trying to tell you still today, we can ask God amiss. It's not in the name of Jesus. Okay? Look, don't get too full of yourself to think that your prayer is pure. If you haven't done a fearless searching inventory through your heart, to see what it is you're asking for and why you're asking for it, you might be asking in vain. Look, it's not like you might not get some of it. Some of what you're asking might be in God's will. The fact that you could turn around could be in his will. But when you get home, when the gangsters are there and they got the guns drawn on you and all of that, is that what you prayed for? This is what that's leading to. So look, I don't care how it looks. Intricately, God is looking at the involvement, your heart. What does this matter to the kingdom of God? How's it going to advance my kingdom? You know, just what about this selfless prayer? Selfless, you know, should I adhere to, or should I accommodate? Right? He sees all and knows all. Right? Okay, so we have to consider, I'm going to take something to God right now. Is it worth God's time? Does it put me in jeopardy with him? Does it make me in contention? You know, what the heck am I talking about? Search my heart, Lord, and know me. Okay, this is what we need to be asking him. Okay, but look, we want to pray right. We want it to make sense. Okay, look, there's plenty of scenarios that are probably going in your own mind right now when you know you prayed wrong. Asking for something you shouldn't have been, and then doubting God without getting. Look, let's think about the things you do want, that you think are really in the will of God. I mean, I used to pray like this when I used to practice that sexual stuff I used to practice. Y'all know the stuff. This is 2019. So I would pray to the Lord, oh, take it away. You know, just take it away. I don't want any therapeutic means or any study. Just take it away, because look, it's making me, my friends, they finding out and all kind of crazy is going on, and I don't like it, right? So it was really, and I can attest to this for others on this note, it was really a selfish prayer. It was about my reputation. I really wanted it to be taken away so that I could look upright, right? And not because I wanted to glorify God, okay? He wants to help us glorify his kingdom, which is good for us. Bless the Lord. This might make it seem like nonsense. It could seem like nonsense. It doesn't matter what it seems like, because our hearts are really far from God until he draws us near. It seems crazy that I would pray for something that is just so accepted today and just makes perfect sense. Not until you start looking at the dynamic here. Look at the anatomy that we're made up with, okay? And you'll start to see design in place that people don't want to see design. Design means I designed you specifically for a purpose. This is how I designed you and what I will for you to do with your body, okay? I haven't had the success I've had until I started asking the Lord to help me be a pleasing vessel to him. Okay, it's for you. Okay, I don't want to do it for me. I do want to do it for me, but I want you to help me do it for you. Bless the Lord. This is a very tense subject. People don't, you know, we don't want to make the people think we hate who we came from. You know, we don't want the people to think we hate our cousins and our neighbors and our aunts and our uncles because we got them. You know, we don't want the people to think that. Love has been hijacked into love is sex. It's a, you know, that's one way. Love is sex. You're showing an expression of love. It doesn't matter how bestiality or how, how it's tied into masochism or sadistic behavior. None of that matters. That's love. Okay? So, now, look, if you don't love my love, you don't love me. And that's not true. I love you. I don't love your action, because I know firsthand what that action leads to, a separation from God. It's separate. Let me tell you something. You want to be separate from God? Buy into your sin. Whatever your sin is, whether it be adultery or prostitution, or you know, you can just turn and get a little money or whatever, whatever your sin is, go ahead and reject the truth and buy into your sin. And what you're doing is building a wall up between you and God. I can't let this sermon and delivering this sermon cause me to feel, look, it's not about entertainment. Though when we talk about our past, some of it's going to be entertaining. But if you're pricked, if it's hurt your feelings or, you know, or anything like, this is church. We're trying to be a real church. We're trying to tell the truth, right? Look, you can go anywhere and hear what you want to hear. There's churches that will appeal to you. But if you want to hear the truth that's biblical in the Bible, we're trying to stick to that. So look, there's love in that, because I'm actually risking losing friendships. I think I'd rather have everybody love me and adore me. I'm telling you the truth. Why have enemies? I want you to like me and then say, oh, this is a great sermon. Oh, this and that. That's not always going to happen. So I have to risk that, like I risk losing my friends, risk losing the associations, risk losing a job, whatever the case may be. We risk things for the Lord daily. Bless God. Okay, so we do. God wants an intimate relationship with us. Lots of people claim to have face-to-face conversations with God. They're seeing them and stuff. I don't see that as necessary right now. I don't. We got the Spirit. We got his book, right? Okay, we have each other. If we prod each other to stay in there with God, we're going to be feeding off of each other, fortifying each other, growing together, right? Okay, so these resources, we don't want to take them for granted. The Holy Spirit is real. The first time he's mentioned is when? In the beginning. Right there, God mentions his Spirit. Tohu vavohu, in the chaos. There's Ruach, just in the chaos. In there. He's mentioned because we can rely on. What does Jesus say? I'm going to leave my Spirit with you. Look, take the opportunity to follow the Spirit. When you start feeling like you're about to do something wrong, because we've asked the Lord to turn that alarm back on, right? And we have. Turn it on. Okay, so when it's turned on, Lord, help me follow your Spirit. Help me. No one's above this. Yeah, look, these battles, anything I'm talking about, from drugs to sex to abortion, that whatever the case may be, these battles, they're every person's battle. Okay? They're all of our issue. They're our issue. Bless the Lord. So he knows we're set apart. We're here with our issues, set apart for his use. Bless the Lord. While he perfects us and makes us tools for his use. Bless God. So, intimate relationships with God will cause us to have more intimate relationships with others, right? Sometimes, you know, we might pray for each other and stuff, but we don't want to do it right now. Or pray together or something, you know, maybe not now, you know. If somebody has a need, try to use that time. Try to use it. You know, to pray for them with them, if you can, right? It's a collaboration. God loves the unity, first of all. And he's saying that intimacy, he loves it. And this is what comes from him being the common denominator. I want to pray with people that pray, right? I don't want to pray with the people that are praying, you know, really the prayers. Prayers, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kim, you prayers. Now, a lack of prayer, it's hot in here. And see, that's another thing I didn't want, the gel in my hair to start sticking up. This always happens, you know. Yeah. A lack of prayer. God can certainly hear us. He allows us to answer he'll allow us to answer our own dilemmas. Consider, this is something, a thought that God gave to me. Daniel. When he was faced with, the decree that Darius or whatever his name is made, right? His life is on the line. You can't pray or worship anyone but Darius right now. But the Bible says that Daniel went ahead as customary and prayed 3 times a day. Okay, Daniel was in the window praying, doing his thing. He didn't care. Why didn't he care? Because he's known God to deliver. And what the Hebrew boys, their motto is, if he doesn't, he doesn't. Right? But he remembers God. You remember God for what he's done for you. That's what builds your prayer life. So then you're willing to take risks and go further. Daniel was confident that God would preserve him, or this was his time to die. Okay? This is a good thing to kind of come to terms with. If you really start getting a relationship with God, that you trust God, because he's worked in your life, like the testimonies this morning. You know, all of us been in the hospital and all of this kind of sort of stuff with near death. Maya's testimony, you know, the lady still wanted to kill the baby even though she was free of the, you know, the kind of, that's darkness. Okay, so we're surrounded by dark, but these testimonies, I'm telling you, it's like, don't let those testimonies become common, in that you'll start thinking other people have the same kinds of testimonies. God is breathing life into them so that you can minister to them. Okay? That's why you're alive. This is why your breath didn't go away. You get it? Because now you can go over here and you can witness to this person. So again, he's going to use us in this way. But if you're not praying, what are you taking to people? Oprah advice. You know, advice. I'm an advisor. Look, we could have a meeting about the lights in here. And we could start off with, let's pray. Okay, all minds cleared. So we pray. Oh, Lord, help us to be in unison and stuff. And we're here to pray about the lights. Then somebody says, I don't like the blinking light. It just bothers me. But we have other issues. That blinking light is not, we'll table that. No, she has a problem with the blinking light. Okay, there's the time to pray with her about that issue. A lot of people might turn and say, because they present themselves as prayerful, might turn and say, let me advise you, get some dark glasses. Get yourself some dark glasses and put them on. This is the advice we get when we could actually be tapping into the wisdom of God, right? So look, it's easier to give that advice. You don't have to subdue yourself and become meditative and kind of center yourself on the thoughts of God and stuff like that and start praying and worship God. I mean, in behalf of this person, that's way too much. I'm not fasting for you. Look, I would fast for you, but what I'm saying is that this is like too much. But we're here, and this is indicative of why we're here. We have a blinking light problem. We think we're here to talk about buying new light bulbs, but we need to pray with her. Bless the Lord. Okay, so no serious business. So we take that opportunity and we pray. If we don't pray, we're going to just give advice. What kind of advice? I mean, you know what? If I care about you, if I care about Jeff, and then I'm telling Jeff, well, Jeff, look, you cannot climb Mount Everest. I did it. I tried it before. I lost my breath. When you get elevated up there, you can't breathe. You see what I'm saying? That could happen to you. Many people have died. Statistically speaking, many deaths have occurred there. So listen, I don't want you climbing the mountain. It's not good for you. Take it from all of us. All of us agree you shouldn't climb the mountain. But no one's prayed, should Jeff climb the mountain? Because you might be the person that God wants to climb the mountain. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, we're just advising each other based on a lazy lack of prayerlessness or prayer, right? It's lazy. It's trifling. It's really trifling to open your mouth to advise someone when you could be asking God who you have access to. You hear me? It's trifling. That's what it is. Okay? So what we want to do is not be lackadaisical in our prayer. We could take any advice. Just think Joseph. When the king had the dream and then the skinny cows were there and they're half dead or whatever. What if Joseph said, hey, let's just have a needle exchange. We can just pump the cows up, pump them up with steroids. They'll look fat. It makes good sense. That's a good idea, great idea. He wouldn't tell the king anything until he prayed, right? Consider what I'm saying. You have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to pray to the God of the universe. Pastor said last week, he sustains the sun so that we don't roast into roasted crispies. Keeps it just where it is. Stardust didn't do that. Something out of nothing didn't do it. If it was just a little bit too far away, we'd freeze to death. Okay? This same God we have access to. We can enter his throne room and talk to him like I'm talking to you right now. How can we avoid that? How is that? I mean, think about it. What gets into us? I'll tell you what to do. See, I know all about it. You see, give me your money. I'll tell you. Better than any investment choice, just give it to me. A church member told me that. Am I right? Told me that, just give me money daily. One day I'm going to hit. Give him $50 every day. One day I'm going to hit. I always have ideas. I'll tell y'all later who it is. So you're God's jackpot. I'm giving you my money. You've been so innovative, yet you borrowing cars and you looking for a place to stay. But one day, No. Yeah, come on. We have common sense. I'm not trying to talk about anybody. I've been there. I thought the way I thought, and I maneuvered the way I maneuvered, and I was as clever as darkness will shape and sculpt me. You see what I'm saying? So I've been there. But what I'm saying is it's lack of prayerlessness. If you have a doubt about anything about God, pray. Ask the Lord. If everybody's talking to you about this God and, oh, this God did this and this God did that, you don't believe it, you have some doubts about it, you don't see the evidence around you, start praying. Start praying and digging. Don't follow the pattern of the world that's going to tell you that's just crazy. This is what they're going to tell you. They're going to get you. They're going to tell you, join us. Now listen, common sense tells you the majority of the people on this earth are not believers. And Jesus said that it'll be a narrow road. Okay? Okay, look, that's just common sense. I can't convince you unless that light is turned on. I can't convince you, but I'll tell you what, I'll be looking for that opportunity to get in there. And I'm not talking about you guys, but I'm talking about our goal. Our goal is to spread the gospel. If we do it according to God's will, it's going to work out. I've started and had so many projects that were great ideas, but they weren't God ideas. They're just sitting there, just unproductive, just looking crazy, looking, reminded me how crazy I was. You know how people say, oh, my bucket list, and they got all this stuff. You should see all the stuff looking at me when I go in the house. That's why I put on this stupid T-shirt today. Just everywhere, stupidness. Okay, so listen, put my clothes back on. Help me. I'm serious business. We can do this. We can do it God's way. We'll be successful. You will be successful if you're praying and asking the Lord how to do this thing. How do I walk this walk? How do I do this? You know, I can go off and I got some talents. We all got our gifts and our talents. It all makes sense to just combine them and go and do something. Let's go build an ark. You know, I'm very proud of that guy's effort, though, the ark in Kentucky. No, I really am, because against all odds, he built that huge life-size ark. Okay, look, if you have a vision and it's God-given, because you're praying and asking through the process, it's going to come to pass. Check your vision. Check your request. Search me and know me. Search my heart and know me. Bless the Lord. And so that's, you know what? There are books here I've written. Me and Pastor were talking yesterday. I can't even go on. I'm telling you, have I made the point? Bless the Lord. Okay. So, yeah, really, because there's more point, but I'm going to stop here because I think I made the point. We're all in this together. We have to pray. We have to use that time to pray. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. That's a whole lot of praying. But Jesus said, pray, Paul, pray always. Pray without ceasing. That's continuous prayer. How can you go wrong? If you know this God and you believe in him, constant talking. What you thinking about, David? I'm praying. You know, oh, you need some time? I said, oh, take a minute. I pray always. What's your need? Maybe I'll tie it into my prayer. Bless God. Bless God. Okay. Bless God.